Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today we have again the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear soul of light and gentleness herself, Dr. Aubrey. Thank you for being here again, Dr. Aubrey.
Well, thank you, Iris, and thank you for including me in your radio show. Thank you.
It is such a pleasure. It is such a pleasure. And, you know, you were talking to me about my interviewing style, and what happens for me is that I have on the people that their work and their ground of being, your ground of being is thrilling to me. Your ground of being is like what gets it done on this planet that I feel. So I really want to share that with people. And when you're talking, sometimes I get so blissed out that, you know, I know I have a job here to do, but I forgot kind of what it was. I just am so thrilled and inspired and feel exalted. I feel like my soul just rises up and goes out into the heavenly spheres, and that's the truth for me. And so when I see light all the way around somebody, when I think of them, and every part of my being goes, yes, those are the people I ask to be on the show, because I'm interested in dreams come true for myself and all life. In fact, one of the things I say is all that I have wished and decreed and, let's see, I don't know exactly how it is, but it says I have wished and decreed and prayed for everyone, every life stream and every life form's dreams to come true, everywhere, forever, past, present, and future. And guess what? They have. Yours, mine, and ours.
Oh, that's most beautiful, Iris.
Well, isn't that what you're doing?
Yes, it is, because it is the soul that is doing the dreaming. And it is indeed that place in us where we daydream. We look into the sky, into the light. We feel moments of deep, profound quiet and stillness. You know, you refer to it as almost zoning out. That's a space that moves us toward the emptiness. And it is indeed a great blessing.
Well, I think it's the thing that used to sort of drive me was that I could do enough, be enough, give enough to deserve being in that place, Dr. Aubrey.
Yes.
And that now I don't want to wait till I, you know, get a new car or a new house or, you know, all the weeds get pulled or, you know, I lose 5 pounds or whatever it is to go there.
Yes.
And I think that deservingness has been one of the big things that we've needed to work with. And that is from identifying with less than the real part of ourselves. And I know you've written that beautiful book, Loving Relationships. And
I did. Living Divine Relationships.
Oh, and she had the title right. Sorry.
You're right. I did write that book.
And I wonder if you'd like to talk about that in sort of... I just know one of the big struggles for people has been feeling they're deserving of that love, and so doing something to mess it up.
Yes, I think this is a very good topic to begin today on the foundation of love. It is essential for our well-being, our fulfillment of our soul journey, our realization of enlightenment. It is essential that the foundation be one of loving ourselves. you touched, Iris, upon feeling deserving. And many people ignore themselves, or they put themselves second or third after they do the errands of the day. And, you know, in the most mundane ways that are so important, when that little voice inside you says, I would like to sit down for a moment.
Could I take a swim, please?
That you do that. Or if you say to yourself, you know, I'd really love a cup of tea. That you give that to yourself. And that when that little voice comes up of something that it's asking for, recognize that is your soul seeking nourishment, kindness, and love in that moment. And each moment that you do that, each small act of loving yourself, creates a fabric which will maintain a healthy body. It will keep your mind peaceful. And then it opens your heart to compassion for others. So these two steps are foundation to anything we might discuss. And that is loving yourself each day in small ways. And then the compassion that you begin to experience for others. This is essential on this journey for any serious student.
Well, okay, I want to apply this to some of the people I know, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hugh Lin, who was the psychiatrist that used that Huna healing, Ho'oponopono, or however
yes.
you say it, and this whole war, this whole hospital of criminally insane people got well from doing this thing of
yes.
saying, "I love you, please forgive me, thank you." Let's see, there's four. I'm so sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you.
Yes.
And one of the things that he says is that one of the biggest things that needs to be healed on this planet is women's hatred for men. And I've been thinking and thinking about that. What makes, let's see, I can say this, it's really important. Women, so many women that I've worked with have hated men because they felt like they took their worthiness away because they cheated on them. And so really they couldn't forgive themselves for feeling unworthy of monogamy and commitment. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I think we have, Iris, a number of topics on the table. And we're starting with love. And certainly in the book, Living Divine Relationship, there is an alignment that's being described between one's soul and the divine. And now we're beginning to talk about some of the human problems, the struggles that we have. So let's identify that, because when these things arrive on our journey in this life, they are boulders.
Well, what?
Boulders. They feel like enormous obstacles.
Oh, boulders.
Boulder. B-O-U-L-D-E-R.
I thought you said boulder.
How can one overcome a boulder? That's how it feels. Heavy, big, and absolutely impenetrable. As a struggle. So let me address this second part that you're bringing up. I have certainly, as a woman, experienced infidelity. I have felt that gut-wrenching pain, the disloyalty, how can I ever hold you in my arms, the body totally constricting, contracting, and withdrawing in a way that is almost subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting, Iris, because I think that be it a man or a woman, you know when your spouse is either physically cheating on you or emotionally or mentally. You know it. And it's hard for the soul to admit that I do know this. And yet that's the first step of loving oneself, is to remove that internal obstacle that may not trust your own intuition, your own inner voice. So first, I say, you need to be honest with yourself when you feel that this is a situation happening within your life. Now, then comes the time where there is the discussion, the confrontation, the yes, this is true, I did that, the tears, the upset, the threatening of the divorce or the separation, all that happens. In those moments, we need to honor our human self and our more divine self, our soul. So we honor the human self by allowing the tears or the anger, allowing ourselves to go through all the emotions that come bubbling out of us, that continue maybe for weeks and months. And yet we also need to maintain relationship with our own divinity, our soul, and to ask ourselves when we become a little more calm, what is it I am learning here? And this enormous, painful lesson, what am I learning? How can I make sense out of this so that I don't become a total victim of something and instead turn the victim into learning something? What is the lesson? And this is part of what was being done in this hospital experience you're referring to, where he was using the Hawaiian, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you and thank you. Because you're looking squarely, nakedly, at what can I gain? Well, what you can gain is to realize the frailties or the weaknesses of a loved one. You can recognize that there may have been within you ways you have been withholding love, not truly loving or hearing or honoring your mate.
I just want to back up to what I've seen women do. It's like they want their mates to love them so much they'd rather fight with them and not have sex than have sex with someone else.
There are many, many manipulations that men and women use to justify withholding love. Many games. There must be 1,000 games. You know, Eric Byrne referred to this early on. If one allows oneself to become caught up in that lower level of consciousness, the game playing, you will never get up out of the mire. It's a minefield. And that's why I'm saying that even in the midst of the struggle, you need to connect with this other part of yourself as a way out. You know, I've spent over 25, 30 years being a psychologist and helping people deal with their anger, their victimization, the repeating of the scenes. And I will tell you, quite frankly, it's endless.
Just got to draw the line and say, I'm not doing the drama anymore. I'm going to do a miracle now.
It's not the way to go. The way to go is to connect with one's divine nature, one's Christ nature, one's soul, one's divinity, that I wrote about in that other book, Living Divine Relationship, and ask yourself these tough questions. I need to learn. I have been withholding love. Why am I withholding love? Because I was raised that way as a child. I have lived in a very repressive environment.
You were?
No, I'm being in the voice of the people who go through this experience. I'm saying from inside the mind of the person who's withholding love, they will come up with reasons in their own early childhood that this happened. Then you need to ask yourself, so am I going to be forever trapped in this kind of reactive state to my own childhood?
No.
And then you say, hey, that's a little boring. what else can I do with my life? Why don't I learn how to love? Why don't I learn?
I mean,
there's so many facets of love. And when you're on the journey of the soul, when you're on this journey, then you go even further past your own childhood upbringing, which is where psychology often stops, and you go into your past life experience. And you ask yourself, so what was my relationship with my spouse or my boyfriend, girlfriend? Who was in what role at some other time? And most importantly, what lessons did we not complete together? Because if you want your soul in this lifetime to realize enlightenment, to step into this golden age that is happening, to allow that beautiful lotus flower in your heart to just magnificently open to the universe, if you want that, the bliss, the peace, the joy, then you must complete that which you have not yet completed. And that is why the Hawaiians say, thank you. Because I'm finally getting this lesson that has had a tendency to repeat endlessly. And for that, I am grateful. And now I am more free. And suddenly this gigantic boulder that was on the road in front of you just bursts into 1,000 pieces, and out from it comes this beautiful light.
And rose petals on your path.
You got it.
I've always found that when I could learn to love where I was, I graduated.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is the quantum leap. That is the breaking of the karma. That is the rising to the new aha experience. And the insights and the realizations that come with it. And the freedom to finally be a loving human being. To know that when you express yourself, you're okay. People are not going to think you're foolish or put you down or whatever. And the freedom, Iris, that I've seen people when they make, you know, breakthroughs and workshops, their face just beams. Because it's as if the shackles that have been across their chest have finally broken.
Yeah, 20 years falls off the face, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right, exactly.
Woo-hoo! I love to be there for that.
Yes, yes. So again, that goes back to the, you know, the premise of loving oneself. Enough to do the difficult soul-searching questions. And loving that person or the soul that is before you.
Well, I think that that's one of the barriers of soul-searching is we're afraid we'll see something really ugly, dirty, unacceptable that we can't love. And we're afraid when we look on the face of who we are, we'll see something ugly instead of what God created.
Well, I think God has created the beauty and the ugliness. And if we perceive the ugliness as ugliness, it is because we are at that level of consciousness. And as your consciousness expands, that which previously you thought of as ugly, you will see very differently. You just simply see differently. Your eyes change. Your mental understanding changes. And your heart has much more compassion. So there is not an ugliness. It simply is a condition that's there that other soul is struggling with. And you wish for them more than anything that they can make it through their struggle and have that level of transformation inside them as well. See, a lot of what we're talking about has to do with our own perception. And as you know, as anybody knows, if you're climbing a mountain, you're halfway up the mountain, the view will be that of halfway up the mountain. And then when you make it to the top, you go through all those stones and the altitude is more rarefied and you're sweating and hot and you finally get to the top of the mountain, you can have a different view, a very different view. So one needs to ask oneself in daily life, where am I standing? Where is it that I am perceiving life this way? And one of the most important statements that's made, for example, in Tibetan Buddhism, who have studied for centuries the enlightenment process. They say when you take the reality where each of you are right now, the reality of your telephone, your desk, or your window, or your room, and you begin to see it with the beauty that is within it, the perfection, the reflection of the divine, how wonderfully everything comes together. And you begin to see it in that way, you are transforming yourself to the entry level of an enlightenment experience. This is how you lay the groundwork in your daily life.
Well, that's what the Ho'oponopono is, I think, is we're taking 100% responsibility for what we see and what we perceive. And then we're saying to it, or the person or the condition or whatever it is, I'm sorry, please forgive me for seeing it this way and being part of the race consciousness and memory that believes these things.
Yes.
And then please forgive me. That transmutes it. That calls the violet flame,
yes,
the law of forgiveness in. And then thank you, and I love you. And you know, all of the great teachers have said this. I mean, Werner said, after you've said everything you haven't said and everything you have said, the only thing left to say is I love you, and finally, that's the truth.
Yes.
Finally, that's the truth. I think that all of us are so, so, so tender, like the skin of a baby.
Mm.
And that there has been so much hurting of that, that people haven't been able to be in present time. They're just so busy building a wall around that tenderness.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And, you know, going back to, you were speaking earlier about the psychiatrist in the hospital. I mean, the story of what he was doing internally, he never met the inmates.
Yeah, he never even saw him.
He did.
That's
it.
My kind of therapy. I'm going fishing now. Would you please do the Ho'oponopono on me?
He did it remotely.
Yes.
And I think that gives even more credence to the process of remote healing, which really anybody can do. And what he was doing is he as he was reading their case study, he would find within himself that place that was similar to what it was that was within them that was related to their crime. So he entered into that position that within him is the same humanity that is within them. And he healed that place within himself. He first granted that it was there. He looked at, you know, to use the word ugliness that you'd used a few minutes ago, he looked at that squarely internally, and he healed that within himself. And that gave the permission to the person who needed to be healed to receive this.
Well, and it's what it says in the Course in Miracles, the mind that has forgiven itself can only look on gentle sights.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, I've been using the Ho'oponopono on everything that comes to my attention out of the news, and I don't read the news or watch the news or anything, but you know how you see the headlines when you boot up your computer?
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been, I've been saying to the leaders and to banks and to the war and to cruelty to animals and inhumanity to people, please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me for seeing it this way.
Well, that's beautiful service, Iris. I'm reminded of something similar that a dear friend of mine does, and she shared this on my Sunday service. And we were talking about the importance of prayer. And in the wee hours of the morning, she goes to her computer. She pulls up the news on purpose, intentionally. And begins.
She's a brave woman.
begins to do her prayers of light, of healing, and of love to that which is coming on the level of the soul. On the level of the soul.
I get that.
I think that's a wonderful use of a modern technology and a very ancient ritual brought together for healing.
It is. It's a wonderful service to give.
Yes, it is. And you know, the Tonglen breathing that the Dalai Lama teaches that comes from the, I think it's the 13th century, where you actually, first you acknowledge whatever it is that is your own pain in that moment. Say, for example, you're feeling irritation. And then you ask yourself, what would be the antidote to irritation? Well, I would feel peaceful, for example. And then what you do is you breathe in the Tonglen practice. You breathe in the irritation right to the center of your chest, your heart chakra.
And, you know, I get a picture of what I've done in the past, and what I think, like, a lot of people do is instead of breathing it in, they run like hell. I'm not handling that.
Yes. Well, there needs to be some understanding of this transformation and of the abundance of the heart.
Yes.
I'd be happy to lead that as an example.
Yes, would you?
Maybe just take 2-3 minutes just to walk people through this.
Oh, yeah, it's so important.
All right. So for everybody who's listening to us, let's just do this with irritation. It's something we all experience. Only that little silent voice inside and something's upsetting us and chewing us at us. So what you do is you place your hands in a prayer position just in front of your heart so that you can actually connect with the chi or the energy that's there in the heart chakra and strengthen it. And you slowly breathe in, you inhale to your heart chakra your own irritation. And now from your heart chakra, exhale for you, peace.
For you what?
Peace.
Peace?
Peace. P-E-A-C-E is the antidote.
Okay.
All right, now again, please. We breathe in irritation to the heart chakra. And now from the heart chakra, exhale, peace for myself. One more time, we breathe in my irritation. Breathe it right into your heart. And now on your own behalf, breathe out peace. And now let your mind go to the people in your particular neighborhood. Anybody who feels irritation at this moment, breathe in their irritation. Right to your heart chakra in the center of your chest. And focus on them and breathe out peace to all of them in your neighborhood, wherever they are. Again, breathe in their irritation. Breathe it into your heart. And now exhale and breathe out to them peace. May they feel peace where they are. One more time, breathe in their irritation. Breathe it into your heart. And from your heart, breathe out peace to all the people in your neighborhood. And now go to all the people that are in your state, wherever you live, and breathe in the irritation of all the people in your state. Bring it into your heart chakra. Your heart chakra gets bigger. And from your heart chakra, exhale peace to all the people in your state. All of them. Again, breathe in their irritation. Bring it into your heart chakra. And exhale peace to all the people in your state. And now let your mind go to all the people in our country, the United States. Breathe in irritation. Wherever it is, bring it into your heart chakra. Any irritation. And exhale from your heart. Radiate out peace. All people. The United States. Breathe in irritation of all people in the United States into your heart chakra. And now exhale. Breathe out peace to all people in the United States. And now go global. Breathe in the irritation around the globe. Bring it into your heart chakra, which now is getting so big. And now from your heart chakra, exhale. peace around the entire globe, further and further and further. One more time, breathe in the irritation of anybody around the globe. And now exhale, peace to all the people, all the people. And now breathe in peace and breathe out peace. Breathe in peace, feel it deeply, peace. And breathe out, radiate peace, as a being of peace. And just sit quietly for a moment. Let your breathing be normal. Thank you, everybody. That is the Tonglen practice from the 13th century. Thank you, Iris.
Thank you. So,
Iris, what was your experience? How do you feel now as you look around your room, your environment?
I feel like it's all turning out.
It changes.
And that
mood.
Be the truth, Miss Aubrey.
Yeah.
It's tuning into the truth. It's tuning in to the God self of every life stream and life form. And
mm-hmm.
We are all God victorious already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful thing to acknowledge.
Do you experience more light in your environment?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
Yes, and that's something I work on anyway, so it's pretty light here.
Great.
So that's one of the things that people can do to give service to all life in, upon, and above the earth and out into the atmosphere, and without leaving their rocking chair, without leaving their front porch.
Absolutely.
And using no gas whatsoever.
It's also to be very practical about this practice. Yes, it changes your perception. It changes your emotion. It changes your mind and what was upsetting to you. And as a healer, I can tell you, I mean, we could talk about this more at some other point, but bringing in this level of peacefulness to our physical body is healing. Healing of any condition, prevention of disease, and aiding in longevity. So you can go inside, you can go outside. It is a remarkable tool.
Now, I have to tell you, I read, my daughter-in-law gave me When Things Fall Apart,
mm-hmm.
when my husband passed over, and it was so hard for me. I loved him so much. I love him so much. I'll always love him so much. And to have him not here in the body is incredibly hard for me.
Mm.
And the way she explained Tonglen, which I did. And so maybe there are several practices, but this helped me so much that she would say, breathe in the grief and then breathe out the wish that everyone, everywhere will always be happy. Breathe out
yes.
the wish for the joy of the heart of everyone.
Well, that was the antidote that you were using. And people will have slightly different antidotes to whatever is the emotion that they are struggling with. So people can insert what for them, and they can have two words that they can use.
So have what?
Two words. For example, you could breathe in grief, at the loss of my husband, and breathe out whatever you say you would like to put in its place. So it's personal. People need to choose the words they want to use there.
Oh, and the process, I see.
Yes.
I thought I covered it to breathe out. Actually how it was put in the book was that everyone would be free from suffering.
Yes. There are different versions you could put in there as you breathe out what for you is most important at that particular moment for that particular emotion. So it's very versatile. What stays the same is the working with breathing it in and breathing it out, and the movement from oneself to going larger and larger and larger.
I see. I guess in that one, it just went to the whole planet immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it just sort of went to all life everywhere. And that was a little easier for me because I couldn't stay with the grief for any length of time. I had to do something to distract myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good at it there
yes.
for a while.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
And,
You know, the notion that with which I suffer in this moment that is so intense, is the notion that others at the same moment maybe having the same experience is really important. You know, the three men who were released, the American hostages who were released, I was listening to their interview. I used to work in counterterrorism when I worked with the State Department and law enforcement.
You are a brave woman.
And one of the men made a point that's just so relevant to this. He said, you know, I am here, and I am free. And I want everybody who's listening to this interview to know, at this very moment, there are other hostages who are being held with the chain around their neck, and they are in pain right this very moment, and I always think of them. He wanted people to go there and to be aware of that. And it was bigger than just what psychology calls the survivor guilt, which we know occurs when one person or a group is rescued and others remain behind. There's guilt about, I am the one who is free. Because what he was doing, he was inviting the listeners to be aware of the condition and the suffering that was still going on. He went big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, you know, I'm just wanting so much for every problem, everything that's going on earth to be solved with divine love. And so you talking about this Tonglen, it's like if you draw that into your heart, that is the transmuting center of divine love.
That is correct.
And your wish is for it to be what divine love wills there.
Yes, that's correct. That is the acceptance. The essence of the peace is being peaceful with that which is beyond any judgment. And you are absolutely right. It's the transformation within our heart. It's the awakening of the heart. And what happens as we do this is our heart, you know, for those who can see with their third eye, your heart gets larger and larger and larger until the entire planet is coming into your heart. It's like there's a conference happening inside your heart chakra.
You've re-invited all your brothers and sisters in.
Yes.
Woohoo! It's a family reunion. And you've said, I love you, I accept you, I honor you where you are.
Yes, that's right.
You know, when the guy was talking about people with the chains around their neck, there are lots of animals that are being held that way too, and there has been a lack of feeling, and honoring for life that I really choose to address and ask forgiveness for, and it seems like I find out daily something horrid that people are doing to animals, and I just, could we do the Tonglen on that?
I would like to suggest a very simple chant for that.
Okay, good.
Because I think this is another way that, these are tools that people can use in their life at any moment. And this particular one, you can do silently. You could be in the middle of a business meeting. You could be at the family dinner table. You can do it, and people don't have to even know that you're doing it.
In an emergency situation.
Anything. And what it is, it's a simple chant, God's light.
God light?
God's light. God's light. And I mean it like this. You are saying to me right now, you're telling me about something that is painful and difficult for you to deal with. And so anytime somebody is telling you something that is painful for them, or anytime somebody is starting to pick an argument with you and you feel the energy just get a little bit funny, you don't want to counter them. You don't particularly want to go deep into having that discussion with them because you don't think it's going to go well at that moment. I mean, these are the interactions that happen with people all the time. At that moment, that little voice inside you says, uh-oh, time to chant. Then you chant God's light. And I do it with a little bit of a song, and people can do it however their soul wants to sing it. But I'd like to do that right now.
Okay.
All right. So just imagine, visualize, somebody is beginning to engage you in a dialogue, and you know it's not quite the best time to do it. You want to change the energy field within the room or around you or within them. You chant like this. God's light, God's light. God's light, God's light, God's light, God's light, God's light, God's light. Bless you and heal you, bless you and heal you. God's light, God's light. Enlighten your soul, God's light, God's light, God's light, God's light.
That's beautiful, Aubrey.
And I do that silently. And I would say that whatever anybody's soul wants to sing, whatever version, you just be that. And what's fascinating, Iris, is that I've done this even when there's an interaction, say, between two people and I'm not part of it.
I'm sorry, I didn't get all of that.
I have done this when I'm watching an interaction between two other people that I'm not a part of. I'm just watching it.
Yes.
And I will chant silently. I'll just go into that state. It dissolves. Within 2 minutes of doing this chant, the complete energy field, the issues, everything, the focus, dissolve. And I love it because most people in some way or another believe in God or what God somehow represents. So it's not about any particular religion or approach.
that's whatever you call God.
Yeah.
And you're honoring that.
Absolutely.
Everyone's experience of God.
Absolutely.
Tell people all the wonderful things you're doing. Like, tell about your church service Sunday morning. And
oh, thank you.
How people can reach you.
Yes. We do a free teleconference every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9:30. And you do it on the telephone in the privacy of your own home. We chant, we have teaching, and we have a sacred healing circle. So that if people want to have something within them healed, they come forward and they say, today I request the healing for whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody participates. So the call-in number, this is a free service, free line, call-in number is 1-269-320-8400. One more time, it's 1-269-320-8400. And when they ask for the passcode, it is 319-325-POUND. 319-325-POUND. And the other way that you can reach me, you can email me direct, Dr. Aubrey, D-R-A-U-B-R-E-Y, Dr. Aubrey at Comcast.net. And I have a website, www.draubrey.net.
Thank you, Dr. Aubrey. And tell people about your other book.
Well, I've continued writing here. The Living Divine Relationship was a book I wrote in a state that we call divine flow. That's another discussion. I've written a book titled Luminous, The Soul's Journey to Enlightenment. And it begins with just a remarkable experience that happened to me a few years ago of pure light and emptiness. And I have, for over 30 years consciously, every night, when the evening star first comes, people always make a wish upon that star. Ever since I was very small, I wished for the enlightenment for all beings. For over 30, maybe 35 years. So this book is sharing some of the inner experience of these blessed moments. And also, I think I have 65 tools to help people in their own path. Some of them are psychological, emotional, spiritual empowerments and teachings that I've received, that I pass on, that I've tried on and have found to be really quite profound and very helpful. And I also have a CD, which is Opening to Enlightenment. And I think it has, at least a dozen tracks of practices like the one we've done here. They are live to help people understand and directly experience the opening of the chakras, the opening of your consciousness, going further and further, because we all are at such a precious moment. This is a way to share some of the teachings that I've done over the last 6 months. I have a little booklet that is also available that's titled Divinity of Your Soul. And I think the message here really is that you are divine. You are the Christ consciousness, the Buddha consciousness. You are the great enlightened ones. And you have come here for a reason at this very, very special time. To be of devout service, of compassion, of healing, and to bring this down into your daily life, into the lives of the people, the animals, the plants, throughout our planet, throughout our galaxy, to become the being of light that you truly are, and to walk as that being in your life with gratitude, to know you are blessed. And I'd like to say, I love you totally, unconditionally, this life and all your lives. And I thank you, Iris, for this opportunity to share, to speak, to teach, to be with you, and the openness with which you share your life and your being. Thank you.
Thank you, my darling precious. Let's see. We have about 3 minutes, I think. What do you want to do with this 3 minutes, my darling?
Are there any questions?
Okay. You know, not being a detailed person, I never write down the numbers that people can call in. And I apologize for that. My tendency is to get blissed out on the material and sort of not deal with those parts. And I apologize for that. And if there's anyone that would like to ask a question, please look on the homepage and you'll see the call-in numbers. And Aubrey, I just want you to tell people again how they can reach you. Tell them about your beautiful website. There's some wonderful things that people can use.
Yes, thank you. The call-in number for those of you who want to call right now is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And I guess while people are doing that, getting ready for that, I do work a number of times a week with people who need individual healing. I work with all kinds of conditions. I teach healing. I'm very, very interested in teaching healing to people who already have a modality and to begin to explain to them and demonstrate the power of working on the level of the soul with light and love. So I don't know if the phone has rung there in these couple of minutes we have left. Any questions?
I don't know if we have time to take a call, actually. Tell about working with people with cancer.
Yes, briefly. In working with people with cancer, we work often on a cellular level. We work with transforming the pre-cancer cells back to healthy cells to become smooth again. This means we are working with rejuvenation. And that might sound outlandish when you use the word cancer. However, I invite each of you to know you do heal yourself from the common cold. This can be done. This can be done. I would love to share a story. I've healed myself from a couple of conditions.
Well, go right ahead.
Well, they take a moment. But the cancer condition, I work with people 3 times a week, helping people get in touch with their soul, with the origin of the condition of the cancer. It may have been interactive. Sometimes people can actually identify a time when they started to constrict.
When they chose to do that.
Yes, when the cells constrict and the chi cannot move through your body, which is part of what acupuncture is about, is stimulating the body so that the energy moves through you. What's very important to always keep the energy and the light and the love moving through you on a physiological level. That's really a topic for another discussion, and it's a very important one.
Yes. Tell once more how people can reach you, and then we're going to sign off
for
the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Donna Sebo. So?
You can reach me most directly through the Internet, through my email, which is Dr. Aubrey, D-R-A-U-B-R-E-Y, at comcast.net, and I will return the message to you.
Thank you, Dr. Aubrey. Thank you for being here. Thank you, you who are listening. And I would like to just tell you this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. I love you.
Bless you, Harris.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.